Dan Casper from Radio Row here at Mall of America for Super Bowl 52. I'm talking with Joel Laurinaitis, although you wrestling fans out there may know him as Road Warrior Animal. I know a lot of people listening right now back in Eau Claire, Wisconsin are huge wrestling fans, so they're pretty jacked up to hear you talk.
Yeah, man. The state of Wisconsin is awesome. You know, being a, you know, growing up most of my life in Minnesota, very similar weather conditions. I think today here in Minneapolis, it's 2 degrees, you know, but Eau Claire is great, man. Been there many times, wrestled there many times through the AWA and the NWA and WWE, WWF weather, you know, so it's, yeah, great fans of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. You mentioned you're from Minnesota or Minneapolis, so, I mean, how crazy is this scene for you kind of walking through here and seeing Radio Row and the Super Bowls in town?
Well, you know, what's kind of nuts here for me is I remember the little mini golf right behind us. I remember James at 10 years old, my son, playing golf on this mini golf course, you know. So, yeah, we've been in the Mall of America a bunch of times, and this is just crazy. I can't imagine, you know, but I can only imagine what the city of Green Bay was like, you know, when the Packers go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Could you imagine if they would have hosted it in Green Bay?
No kidding.
They would have been nuts. And if the Vikings would have won, could you imagine the city? This would be unbelievable.
It'd probably be twice as full right now.
It'd be like you were in Iceland. There'd be so many Swedes and Norwegians here, you wouldn't know what to do.
Blowhorns going off and everything.
It would be Panacookin City, right? That's crazy.
You mentioned James, and your son plays in the NFL, and I know a lot of Packers fans wanted James on their team a couple years ago. How is your son doing right now?
James is doing real well. You know, he just retired this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, he was hoping, man, that, you know, because he played against Clay Matthews in college, you know, when Ohio State played USC. And he was hoping that he can get on the same team and be in the middle. Of course, you know, when A.J. Hawk was there, especially when they went to the 3-4, he said, wow, I would love to be in the middle with A.J., you know. But, hey, it worked out the way it did. Listen, he did well. He made his mark in the NFL, and humbly, you know, he broke Merlin Olsen's 35-year-old tackle record.
Yep.
So, you know, and that'll go down for a long time because I don't know if the way the game is and everybody getting traded so much these days and guys getting hurt more often and having the concussion syndrome where you have to sit out, you know, the amount of plays you get is going to be less. Mm-hmm. You know, and now, and to be honest with you, when your offense plays better, the defense is not on the field as much.
Exactly.
I mean, and back then, that defense was on there for over 70 plays a game, which is a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot. That's 70 hits. Imagine getting hit in the head 70 times.
Yeah.
You know, so that, in that aspect, you know, he's happy and he's good. He's working with the Big Ten Network.
Okay.
He does the weekend roundup for the Big Ten, and he's happy doing that. I know he's going to be doing some Fox football stuff this year, and he did, you know, a lot of stuff with the NFL Network, so he loves it.
Yeah, you mentioned when you break a record held by Merlin Olsen, that holds a special place.
The fearsome
right there.
Foursome, right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the fearsome foursome? You know, so it's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Road Warrior joining us here on Radio Row on Sports Talk 105.1. I just saw the Ric Flair documentary 30 for 30, and you were friends with him. You kind of grew up with him because he was from Minnesota.
Ric Flair grew up in Golden Valley, not far from here.
Yeah, so you've known him since the 80s. How did that relationship start between you guys?
You know, there's such a camaraderie in the wrestling business, just like there is in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just like you guys here in the radio world and stuff like that. you know, when you find out there's another Minnesota guy, it's like all of a sudden you gravitate towards the guys you know from your home state.
Mm-hmm.
You got that familiarity to what you talk about and see and believe. And, you know, and Rick was a great guy. And, of course, he was the world champ. I mean, he beat Harley Race. Harley Race was a 20-time world champion. And then Flair beats him and is the world champ. And Flair was world champ multiple times. And he's a good guy, man. You know, I remember him making me give his daughter Megan – we're over in Tokyo, Japan, if you can picture this now. You know, Hawk and I are carrying all our gear, and we had plenty of gear the way it was. And then Flair says, hey, can I give you some Christmas presents to take home for my kids? Next thing you know, I got 14 Cabbage Patch dolls and a Japanese erector set to put together for her son, right? And it's all in Japanese. I said, I don't read Japanese. How am I going to put this together, right? On Christmas Eve. No, nonetheless. So, yeah, it's Ric Flair is definitely a character, man, and everything for that 30 for 30, unfortunately, is true with Ric Flair, you know. So.
Right. You started in the 80s, and now you're a Hall of Famer, 2011 class, correct?
Yes.
So, you know, kind of take us back to when your career started. When did you kind of start to realize, okay, I'm going to be somebody in this business?
You know, I don't think you realize that you know, even when you make it, I don't know if you realize that you've made it. Mm-hmm. And I say that because, you know, at the time, you know, I was a junior college All-American football player. Football was my first love. I mean, I coached James all the way through and everything else. And I actually, you know, due to personal situations, I had to give up my full rides at D1 schools, right? So I had a guy, Art Meadowcroft, who played with the Vikings and the Bears, was an offensive guard. Had some contacts, and when the United States Football League started, right, mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'd like to take maybe do a walk-on tryout. And so he was arranging that for me, and in the process, we had a guy that worked at a bar called Grandma B's as a bartender, Ed Sharkey, who trained Jesse the Body Ventura. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, he says, hey, I'm going to do a wrestling camp. You want to do it? I said, I don't know, man, maybe. Pro wrestling, come on.
Yeah.
I did it. And in the midst of, I figured the worst that could happen is going to get me in good shape for my tryout, right? You know, because that kind of pummeling and endurance is different than running endurance, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so I did it, and then the next thing you know, here I am. And you go through the process, and in the beginning, I had some 325 days a year wrestling. You know, that's not a day off.
Right.
Because we would do, and when I was at TBS Studios, we would do 1 week Atlanta, 1 week Ohio Valley, 1 week Atlanta, one, back and forth, and every Saturday fly to Atlanta to do TV.
Wow.
You know, yeah, you do TV, you go to the airport when you're done in Atlanta, hop in the car in Columbus, Ohio, you know, do your Wheeling, West Virginia, and then Cleveland, and then Toledo, mm-hmm. and then Cincinnati, and back up to Columbus. Boom, now you're flying out again, to go back to do TV again. Then you got Georgia towns. You know, so it was kind of crazy for a while. And you're so busy, you don't know you made it. I think, you know what, the time I really knew that I kind of cemented everything, the last of the big daddy companies, you know, at the time was AWA, NWA, then WWF, mm-hmm. is when in Madison Square Garden we won the WWF championships. And the reaction in New York City was second to none. It was so freaking loud and crazy. And you look in the stands, and there's Lou Ferrigno sitting there, and all these celebrities, you know, Regis Philbin at the time. And you're looking, what the heck, man? This is crazy. But it's New York, you know. And it was wild. And that's when you knew, wow. And, you know, that was a lot. You know, at that time, I think that was, you know, Hawk and I. Listen, you hear a lot of times in wrestling, and guys say, I'm the 15-time WDCW World Champ or WWE World Champ. Well, Hawk and I won 15 different titles around the world, mm-hmm. which nobody's ever done. So that's kind of a, you know, testament right. to what we did.
You mentioned the Madison Square. I mean, I remember you from Legion of Doom. Was that Madison Square fight kind of the highlight of your career? I mean, you've had a lot of moments throughout your career where you could probably pick, but could you nail down one moment that's most memorable to you throughout your career?
I think that one was pretty good, mm-hmm. the Madison Square Garden. The other one that was really good was Wembley Stadium in London, England. We had 90,000 people.
Wow.
That was pretty wild.
Yeah.
When you get in the ring and you hear nothing, you know, and you know the old European chant, like when they have rugby or soccer, they go, they blow those horns, they go, dun, 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 dun. And at the end of that, you have 90,000 people chant in unison, LOD.
That's so awesome.
You get goosebumps even hearing it, right?
And
it was crazy, man. It was crazy loud. We couldn't even hear the Harleys going down to the ring, and we were driving them.
Oh, my God.
We heard them starting up, and then after that, we couldn't even hear them running.
That's insane.
Yeah, man, that's loud.
I got to ask you, you know, Road Warrior Animal Joe Laurinaitis joining us here on Radio Row at the Mall of America for Super Bowl 52. Thoughts on the XFL?
Huh?
Thoughts on the XFL?
You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I tell you, if Vince McMahon were smart, and I'm not saying this because, you know, I know football a little bit, but he would actually say, hey, why don't we have an ex guy like me in the Hall of Fame go in to be a linebacker coach or a head coach? If you really wanted to attract some interest into it, mm-hmm. because listen, you're not going to get, I hate to say this, your guys that are playing on your teams in the NFL. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Hey, listen, everybody is useful in the NFL. You need your scout team guys. You need your starting guys. You need your 1, 2, 3 picks. You also need your pick, you know, 20, 30, 40, too, you know?
Right.
And so I don't know how it's going to work. The NFL is so professional and so top-notch I don't know if there's a fit for the XFL. I don't know where that's going to fit with Vince McMahon, but you know, listen, Vince has got a huge ego, and if he wants to do it, he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. He's a billionaire. I mean, what, you know, who's going to stop him?
Right.
You know, but if it could work like a farm league for the NFL, I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it could be another season. You know, if it's
right.
It can't be the same season in the NFL. It's going to have to be a different time season, like kind of like we call it the dead season in the sports, where there's really nothing going on, right?
Yeah, so, like late spring or something like
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, if it's like that, then I think it might be okay. I just think some of the rules last time, like letting guys put stupid names on their jerseys, like he hate me.
Yeah.
That's so stupid. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Or the coin toss where they chase for a ball or something like that.
Yeah, man. Listen, you don't need those crazy rules. I think if you keep it professional, like it's football,
mm-hmm.
and you keep the rules the same. The one thing I do like about it, and I heard Vince made a statement now, is that he's going to make everybody stand for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think that Roger Goodell should do and honor our veterans. My son's a veteran. My dad was a veteran. My grandfather was a veteran. My grandfather's grandfather was a veteran and, you know, fought for this country. And it's not about, listen, we all fall to some kind of oppression in our life. But it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not the platform to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
Do it on your own and, you know, and something else. You know, I believe in what they're fighting for. I believe in equality and everything. I don't believe in the color of a man's skin makes any difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We all bleed the same color, right? And the same God makes us. But I just think that the, you know, kind of getting off track here a little bit, you know. Don't mean to preach or, you know, not getting on the pulpit right now. But, yeah, man, I don't know how the XFL is going to do it. It may do all right.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your podcast that you got going on.
Yeah, man, got a podcast, you know. Besides my work, you know, I know you guys are in the Wisconsin area. And I know Wisconsin's got a lot of timber companies.
Uh-huh.
I got a timber company in West Africa, and I got 2 million acres of timber. If anybody wants to contact me,
really?
Contact. Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been over in West Africa in Liberia for about 7 years, and we just acquired, you know, 2 million acres of timber, and we have another 1.5 million waiting in the wings, and you know, a lot of precious teak and bamboo and a lot of great other hardwood, like 250 species of woods over there.
Wow.
It's crazy. The far as you could see is nothing but trees.
So everybody in Wisconsin thinking the Northwoods has a lot of selection.
Exactly,
that's
man. Exactly. So, yeah, you can contact. But, no, my Oh, What a Rush podcast, it's great. It's on STL Podcast Network, you know, in St. Louis, because that's still where I'm at right now. And it's going good, man. I get on there. I talk to old buddies. I did one with Ken Anderson the other day. It was Mr. Kennedy, you know, for WWE, and then Smash of Demolition, Barry Darso, who I went to wrestling camp with, you know, and, you know, we've done, you know, The Godfather and a bunch of other guys that were WWE stars, you know. So it's going great, man. We're gaining about thousands of listeners
awesome.
Each week. So listeners out there on your radio system, man, have them tune in, man, because it's a great deal. There's many ways to contact me right there, you know.
Yeah, we got the Twitter handle, at RW Animal, or at What a Rush Pod. Facebook, What a Rush Podcast with Road Warrior Animal, or Joseph Michael Laurinaitis. And then Instagram, LOD Road Warrior Animal. So multiple ways to get a hold of that.
Yeah, there's, you know, my podcast guys are running. I got plenty avenues to contact me. So, yeah, it's good, man. And we do a lot of, you know, email questions and soon we're hoping to get into the call-in segment
awesome.
Of it, you know, have people call in and do questions live on the air. And
absolutely. Last question for you. Who was your kind of inspiration for wrestling? Like, was there a guy that you kind of looked up to as your career started to get started?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what really kind of cemented it for me to even want to do wrestling was I was about 19 years old, man, and there was a gym here in Minnesota that Hawk and I had bought into with a friend of ours, Jim Younger, called The Gym. And it was the place if you were the strongest guys in the state, or like we had Nick Thomas, who's an Olympic speed skater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody trained there, you know. And because a lot of the Vikings in the off season would go to the gym and get a membership and train. And I sit there one day, and all of a sudden I look over, and I see this behemoth guy come in the gym. And I look over, and I didn't even know his name, who it was. I said, who is that? He goes, his name's Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
And I, as a kid, I'm going, holy crap, look at the size of this guy. I mean, I was probably only like 230 pounds at the time when I first saw him. And I was one of the stronger guys around the gym. And, you know, and then another guy that was next to him was a guy named Dizzy Ed Boulder, who ended up being, you know, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, you know. And so I said, wow, look at that. How did that guy get that huge? you know, and then 2 years later, I was bigger and stronger than both of them, so it didn't matter.
There you go. Joe Laurinaitis, Road Warrior Animal, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I know you got a busy schedule, so thank you again for stopping
by. Okay, man. Hey, go Wisconsin.
You bet. Thank you.